You are now entering the Cave of Solitude.
Welcome to the show, y'all. It's the Cave of Solitude. Send a shout out to the crew of the Cyber City.
Coming to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto, I am your host, Eric Anthony, and you are now listening to the Cave of Solitude. Welcome back, everybody. I am joined by your favorite podcast co-host from around the world. Everybody's number one, even if they don't know it. I've been told the realest voice in podcasting today. Fact: the insane mercenary, the femme fatale,
Lady J, y'all.
Welcome back to the cave, Lady J.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Much better now that it stopped, you know.
Weather report.
Okay, long story short, the sun finally came out.
The clouds cracked.
Man.
I thought we were living in Gotham.
But for real.
No, really.
Yeah.
I started to understand why people could go crazy.
I'm like, this is why there's so many villains, and I was on the cusp of becoming a crazy slasher.
The insane mercenary.
Oh, man. It was unbelievably depressing.
The insane merc. That's a good name.
But the sun came out today, and things are looking up.
Would you wear a mask if you were a villain? Or would you just wear sunglasses with a hood? I think you would just be the sunglasses with a hood on.
I think I would do that. That's what I do every day, actually. Yeah, nothing too crazy. Nothing.
You wouldn't hide your identity. You wouldn't do any. You would just.
No, my identity would be hidden with my sunglasses and my right. Scully and my hoodie. Like, I would do that.
I could see you being a Scully, like a full-on mask.
You know whose mask I really liked? Speaking of which, now that we're saying masks. I liked Rorschach's mask.
Yeah, that's a good mask.
In The Watchmen.
That's a good mask.
Because you know what I like about his mask? It's not inconvenient. It's not like, you know, again, everybody knows Batman's my guy. But for years, he was the one that couldn't turn his head.
Right.
You know what I mean? Spider-Man, I don't get how he can speak with something like muffled. It's a cloth in front of his face. So it's like, no wonder he talks so much, because he probably can't, like, he sounds constricted. Like, I'm thinking, yeah, if I had to hide my identity, I'd want it in a way that it wouldn't be inconvenient. Also, too, when you have a mask that close to you, the condensation, that can't be good for you.
It's true.
Like, that's
something
not,
you don't think.
Yeah.
Think about.
And yeah. After, like, having a night of, you know, taking people out and stuff, like,
that mask has got to stink.
I would be like, I'd want to do laundry after, like.
It's true, right?
You know what I mean?
They never mentioned maybe the body odor that some of these guys must have wearing the leotard underneath their regular clothes all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that should be
addressed.
And
they're doing some physical stuff there.
Some physical stuff.
Yeah. The Daredevil, not Daredevil. No, his mouth is open. But what's the other one? Deadpool? He's also kind of like in the Spider-Man getup.
Mm-hmm.
The spandex.
Yeah, with the full face covering mask. I like the face covering mask, though, because it makes more sense of keeping a secret identity. In case you're wondering, if you're listening to this for the first time, thank you for downloading the episode. This is a comic book and pop culture podcast where we talk about everything that we like in the world of geeky things and everything all around cool. But yes, that's why we're talking about weather to superheroes, in case you're wondering what you're listening to. So, Daf J, we got nothing specific on the agenda today when it comes to, like, movies that we're going to review or comics or books that we've read. This is going to be a very fun, loosey-goosey episode where the best material comes out, because we don't know where we might, what road we might go down this week. But you got some stuff on your mind, some trailers that you've seen, some shows that you've watched recently, binge-watched without me.
I did?
Yeah, you did. I started watching, put in a DVD. I'm not even going to say what it is. I put in a DVD set for you to fall asleep to one day. The next day, you were on the fourth disc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So let's get into all the goods that have been happening since the last time we recorded an episode for our friends of the Cave of Solitude that listen loyally to us. Right?
Let's do it.
What do you want to talk about first? What's on the docket?
Okay, so, yeah, I have been watching TV.
Right.
Mostly DVDs. Right. And the reason why I started watching it, well, yeah, you put it in because I was, you know, I was like, I need some background, you know, melodies. So you put in the Justice League, the animated series.
Yeah.
That's right. I like it.
Of course you like it. Why would you not like it? It's fantastic.
But what got me on this tip is that, remember I was texting you and I was like, man, my reaction to some of this stuff, I felt like it was real. Like, I was like, oh, shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, no, that just really happened? Like, oh, that kind of drama or the back talk. And, like, it felt real to me. And I was just thinking to myself, especially because of the trailer that I saw of what they're going to be releasing soon of the Justice League. I don't know, man. I can't quite put my finger on why these people have a hard time of putting a live action movie that portray these characters when it's been done so well in cartoons. That was kind of crossed my mind. I mean, I know we've kind of talked about it in the past, but I'm watching this stuff and I'm like, dang, they got everything down.
Even the stuff where they don't follow, like I say all the time, you don't got to follow everything comic book to TV or whatever, but you feel like they get it, they got it, they've included this in a smart way. And the thing with the Justice League cartoons was the first two seasons was, you know, seven characters. It was limited to the Justice League that you kind of are familiar with. The mm-hmm. Flash, the Martian Manhunter, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Hawkwoman was in it, Hawkgirl mm-hmm. was in it, and Green Lantern. But it was the Jon Stewart Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was the core team. And then they go into Justice League Unlimited, mm-hmm. and it's just...
Which at first I don't think I was a fan of.
No, it because it just seems so overloaded with characters.
However, that being said, at first I wasn't... I didn't really like it so much, but I felt that it gave the show, what's the word I'm looking for now? I don't know, it was kind of nice, like, even them being in the Watchtower, like, the headquarters of the Justice League, even just kind of people walking by, almost making, like, a slight cameo without saying anything.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. It was cool.
You know, this is a world that they've built that others exist in, and there's a respect and an understanding and an appreciation amongst these people. And it kind of warmed me up to the fact of everyone being around, which then it allowed different stories to be told with still a main character, but with subsequent characters being introduced.
Yeah, it...
And it gave it some kind of... I'm still looking for that word. It gave it some kind of...
Gravitas?
Okay. You, in these words, I don't know what that... I don't know. But...
Like, it made it weighty? Like, it gave it... gave the team... That's basically what I'm saying. Like, it gave
And just use the words I know. It gave it some kind of, you know, variety. It gave it a mix, but it wasn't so out there. So that's what I'm saying. Change isn't a bad thing, but when there's a subtle introduction to things and why certain things are the way they are. Like, there's a reason why these people are in the story, and it was explained reasonably so. And these episodes aren't long.
No, they're 22, 23 minutes maximum, and there's so much story being told in them. And what's cool about the Justice League animated series, in comparison to the Batman and the Superman before it, it has a continuity in some roundabout. Even though there might be one-off episodes, there is an overlying plot mm-hmm. that you're getting to, and it pays off to watch them in order.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool for an animated show, mm-hmm. I think. Because they're not all like that. At least the ones we grew up watching. They were good, but you didn't have to watch them in a particular order. Until, I would say, like, the X-Men were like that. They were very much, they had a continuity. And Spider-Man was like that.
Wasn't Captain Planet like that?
I don't remember. I
feel like there was a point in our childhood where, it, you know, to be continued was an ongoing thing after a while.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I remember that very much so with Spider-Man, the animated series. Yeah. I remember how, though, once I got into that show regularly, I felt like I was watching a daily soap opera that I had to get home and catch that next episode. I remember running from middle school because they had a 3:30 show and then I think a 4 o'clock, like back-to-back, but they were different parts of the story, so I was catching the older episodes and the newer episodes, and then when I'd get home, my cousin would always call me, and I'd be like, I can't talk, Spider-Man's on, don't bother me during Spider-Man. It became like a real thing.
That was a tight schedule you had
there. It was very tight, because school finished at 3:15. You remember where our school was.
Yeah.
And where I lived in those apartment buildings.
Well, that's a trek.
I ran one time. 10 minutes.
I ran once for a show.
Right?
I did. I ran for Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, boy.
I really did.
Maybe it was worth it back then. It's not a recent...
You know what? You know how back then it was? It was when the show was playing at 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday. That's how early it was. I think, to this day, I'm still one of the original Grey's Anatomy fans. And I was waiting for that bus, and it was not coming. And I bolted. You know what sucks? When I got home, they weren't showing it that night.
Oh.
That's...
That's loyalty.
That's what I remember. I turned it on. I'm like, what is it? What is it? And then it said, like, oh, you know, this special.
On demand wasn't so available back then, had to catch it.
Yeah.
Not everybody had the digital box. Sometimes we had the hard cable still going into the TV. Right? If that was what you had in your room, you had to catch it on that day.
Yeah, I don't remember having a box, man. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What other shows did you run for after school?
What other shows did I run for after school? I think that was the first one where I felt I didn't want to miss it because I didn't know when that episode would be aired again.
Mm.
So I'm sure there was something else.
Were reruns even common when we were kids? I don't remember this. Did we see reruns?
Yeah, you did. Because the cartoons were serialized, right? So once it got to, you know... second season or something, sometimes it would be on Fox, and then it would also be on YTV. Like, they would show different channels.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
Right?
See, so, this is what I'm saying. I don't remember, but you saying it kind of triggers something.
Yeah. I remember in high school, I would run home for wrestling. If I had missed wrestling, I'd want to... Because they only showed...
They showed wrestling that early in the day?
They showed the repeat.
Oh, okay. From what? The night before?
From the night before.
Oh, okay.
So on Tuesday afternoon from 4 to 6, they showed Monday Night Raw for WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Wednesday is when they would show the WCW show. So that was 2 days after the fact. That was the only time I would get to see it in Toronto, in Canada. Because it was live, obviously, Monday right. Nitro. But we didn't get TNT here. So I wouldn't be able to watch it on the Monday night. So it was a full week of wrestling. I remember one guy in middle school did not want to go to the middle school dance because it was on the day of a wrestling show.
Was that guy you?
No, it was not me. I was not. I wasn't that geeky for wrestling. I liked my wrestling, but he was like, hey, dude, are you going to go to this thing? He's like, no, it's Thursday night. Thunder's on. And it was a horrible show. Thursday Thunder from WCW. It was like... all the B characters. It was not important to watch at all. I'm like, you're going to miss, like, this is our grade 8 graduation dance. And he's like, I got to watch it. I'm like...
Good for him.
I guess.
Good for him standing up for what he believes in.
Yeah, but like...
Fight the power.
The rest of us were dancing with girls and he's at home watching Thunder.
Okay, yeah, I get that. But what I'm... Especially with, like... you know, that added pressure, like, are you gonna go? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, you follow the crowd. This guy seems like he was a man of his... Like, he was, you know, he knew what he wanted. Good for him. Whoever you are, wherever you are, thumbs up.
He knows who he is. I don't know if he's listening to this.
I don't know. There's something about that I respect. Like, you know what? I can't be bothered with you people. I want to do me. Yeah, I like it. I think that's great.
Not if you knew what Thunder was like.
But this is the thing. Like, I can't comment. No, I can't comment on the quality of whatever he was going to do. But you know what? He wasn't worried about what other people thought of him or where he was expected to be. He went home and enjoyed the Thunder. Good for him.
So Justice League Unlimited, you binged it.
Yeah, I'm not done. But yeah. I went in hard.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I ended up, the last episode I saw, it's called Epilogue.
Okay.
It was my, anyway, Bruce is old in that one.
Very old.
It's like apparently 35 years later after, or even more, I think. Like he's.
He's like 100.
You know what? I had a hard time watching that episode.
Did you shed a tear? I thought you were getting a little emotional.
You know what? I didn't shed a tear, but I did. It was. Yeah. It wasn't easy for me to watch when I saw it, like, old and weak and, you know. And I also felt like there was some kind of, like, elderly abuse. I didn't like it.
So what do you mean elderly abuse?
When, what's his face? His clone.
Terry McGinnis?
Yeah.
Batman Beyond?
Yeah. Which, that one, I didn't watch growing up.
No. If it wasn't Bruce in the suit, I wasn't interested.
Me neither. I don't know. There's something about... Anyway, that's a whole other discussion, but...
But yeah, I heard like, that was a very good show.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
Well, from it turned out to get a lot of credibility because the writers were the same people who were writing and making Batman animated series. So, I mean, the creative team is what makes these things good. It's not whether or not a character is necessarily in a suit. It's the writing team. And that's why Justice League Unlimited is so good. Because when you may not pay attention to it, but I notice a lot of the stories that are written for the episodes, they're like renowned and well-respected comic book writers.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're right.
And they love the characters, they love the medium, and when you see like, oh wow, J.M. DeMatteis is one of, you know, a comic book superstar. He's written a lot of very important stories. And some of them, he's kind of one of those guys who may not necessarily have the longest stretch on a particular character, but when he tells, he's known for having written probably the best Spider-Man story of all time. So he's like a well-respected comic book.
No, I'm not talking, I understand that, but there's something about the, you know, the only Batman I've ever known. That we've all ever known until that version, I guess, came out was Bruce. And even when, you know, when Dick Grayson had to take his place momentarily because his back was broken or whatever, it always, like, you just knew in the back of your head, like, this is temporary. Because the real Batman is still out there. And the real Batman will come back. Seeing this episode, it was like, oh my goodness, he's, like, you know, when we talk about Batman... He's the only one that we figure, like, he has no superpowers. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
the Flash... He has a superpower.
No, but don't go with the rich thing. I don't even want to go there. But, like, Hal Jordan has his suit. He has his ring. The Flash has his, you know, he's super fast, whatever. They're men, and they can bleed, they can get hurt, but Bruce, he doesn't have anything super about him, you know what I mean? And where was I going about this? What did I say 2 seconds ago?
You
were
saying you felt bad to see him like
that. Oh, yeah. So, you know, we always talk about him being like he's just a mortal man. But to actually see that happen. Okay, for example, I don't want to get too depressing here. But it's like, you know, we all know we're going to die one day. But it's not something that we think about. Because it's acknowledging a reality... And living it every day, like it.
You just go through the motions of it, not realizing that there is a mortality.
Like we know there's inevitability. That's the one. But we don't go like every day, like oh, because something might happen, I'm gonna stay in my house. No, you do your thing, right? So, like I said, Bruce is, you know, flesh and blood, and you know that he can. One day, bite the dust, but because he's Batman...
The hard part too, right, from what you're saying is that you see this character, you've seen this character so much in so many different iterations, and he hasn't gotten old because they just retell it.
The oldest I've ever seen him was in Dark Knight Returns.
Right, right, right.
And even then, he was like...
He was still
like a tank. Like, and he's still like... you know what
I mean? He's still on a mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's, you always have seen...
And this time I saw him, like, reaching for pills, and then he dropped them, and then he fell over, trying to pick them up. And then this... The Beyond is just looking at him like, no wonder you're alone. Like, you know what I mean? It was a little... Meh. I wasn't... It was different.
No, you don't want to see anybody be mean to Bruce Wayne.
I just don't like people being mean to old people. But I don't like seeing Bruce being old, either. Anyway, that was the hardest episode, I think, throughout the whole thing. There was pretty great episodes in that.
I love Amanda Waller's portrayal in that. She's a great character. Great character.
Yeah, she's good.
For somebody who's just... Who is so... She looks so ordinary. Like, she's got no... She's not in the field as an assassin. She's not... She's just mind. She just comes and... Says exactly, like, she puts Superman in his place. She'll put Batman in their place. Like, it's such a normal human being without any... It's just her and her dress, her business suit, whatever it might be. She's heavy set. There's nothing about her that is, like, you know.
Yeah, and it's funny, like you say, right? Like, she's not intimidated by them.
But she commands the room, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's a great character.
Is she considered a villain?
I think sometimes she is. It's just she's one of those ambiguous characters who does some really crappy things.
Or is she like a Catwoman? You know what I mean? Who kind of like...
I think she's a little bit more on the villainous side than a Catwoman is at this point in time. But at the same time, I don't look at Amanda Waller as a villain when I read her. I'm like, she's just a manipulative... Can you help me out now?
Manipulative?
There you go. Inevitability, someone will get manipulative. Yeah, she just knows who to... She has a goal. She knows what needs to be done for whatever reason. And she'll do it by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes to get the greater good done, she's got to do some pretty horrible things. And it's such an interesting dichotomy of, like, a character of how they're used.
Yeah.
And how they're written.
I find, though, in this particular series, I get... to see two sides of her.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Like, that's character development.
Yeah.
And I think... I don't know. I'm not understanding why there's such a hard time... They're having such a hard time putting this together. And it's not like movies are 2 hours and... Or an hour and a half or 2 hours anymore. Like, movies are long these days.
I guess they... I don't know, to be honest with you.
Because... And I think people only complain of how long movies are when they're not good stories.
Yeah, I can't...
Like, if I see, what's it called? The Transformers.
Yeah.
How much buildings and stuff are we going to see blow... Like, this Michael Bay approach, after a while, I want to shoot myself in the head. I'm done. Tell me a story. I don't need to be seeing things blow up. Oh, like, for an hour and a half. You know what
that's,
I mean?
That's their shtick, though, right? That's kind of what they... That's their art.
But what I'm saying is, if you're going to have a movie that lengthy... Use it to your advantage and tell me something.
Yeah.
The cartoon's been telling me more in half an hour than...
Yeah.
And I know it's ongoing. But like...
No, it's
true, though. And that's the other thing, right? People don't just do one movie anymore. There's always a part two. Now people do trilogies. Like, it's a continuing...
It's planned,
a story. Then tell it right, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, it's true. When you watch animated versions of it, in a smaller amount of time, they hit the nail on the head. It's like, wow, they got it.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. We haven't seen any Justice League movie yet, so we don't know. We don't know yet. But we have seen... You have seen a trailer recently that got quite the reaction out of you. Do you want to talk about it, or should we skip over it? Will it make you uncomfortable?
What? Which one? Are we talking about... Spider-Man, or are we talking about...
Spider-Man did not make you uncomfortable. Come on, you know what we're talking about here.
Maybe it did. You don't know
there
that.
There was... So, I'm not going to mention the name of the trailer. I'm going to just talk about it, for starters. There was a trailer released recently, a remake of a old Stephen King movie. We all know what I'm talking about now.
Okay. I didn't even know that they were making a remake.
No. I don't know what it's called. The Phobia to Clowns.
I know what it's called.
What's it called?
I'm not saying it.
Daft J has it. She has the phobia. Legitimately, I've seen it. She has a legitimate phobia. And I also know that the reason she has this phobia is because when she was a kid, I don't know why it was shown to you or why you saw it, but you watched It. Pennywise terrified you, as it was meant to.
Okay, can we just clear something up? I know. I've never liked clowns. Never.
Yes.
I think what kind of was the last nail in the coffin kind of thing, it was this guy.
Legitimately, right? Like, how could it
not be? I was always weary of people that didn't appear to approach you with their true self. I didn't like that.
Absolutely.
And I think nobody.
No, and if you're already nervous about that sort of thing as a kid, and then you see this.
And it's not, clowns are insane, but I'm not a fan of mimes. Like, they also freak me out. But clowns is a little bit, it's.
Right.
That's serious. But like I said.
So I saw the trailer posted, and I wasn't trying to be a jerk. I wasn't trying to be cruel about it, because when we did the recent episode talking about villains in movies, you mentioned Pennywise from It.
Well, and who wouldn't?
True. Like, especially if that's your fear, right? But after the show was done, maybe a day later, you mentioned to me, like, I think I want to watch it.
Okay, yeah, because...
I said, watch what? It. The movie that you're terrified of and where it, like, caused your phobia. It's like, yeah, I like being scared. Sick. So when...
Well, no, it was because we had been talking about all these characters and didn't make you feel nostalgic. Yeah. Like, then all of a sudden you wanted to watch...
For sure.
Like, you got you in the mood, right?
That's why it's fun to talk about that stuff, because it makes you either go back and watch it or makes you want to go back and watch it.
Exactly.
But I didn't think you'd want to watch that one. So when I see this trailer up, I say, Daff, they got a new trailer up. I didn't know it was being remade. They got a trailer up for this movie coming out this year. What? Why would they do that? I said, well, they make trailers for movies that are coming out. Do you want to see the trailer? Or should it be, like, only because you said the other day you wanted to watch the movie
again. And without hesitation. I'm like, are you crazy? I'm not going to see that.
And I dropped it. I said, no problem. No problem. I don't blame you. If you don't, just because you said you like being scared and you brought it up the other day, I just thought I'd ask. 2 hours go by. What happens?
I called for you.
Uh-huh.
And I said, so I'm thinking about this. And you're like, thinking about what? And I'm like, well, I'll only watch it if you watch it with me.
So it was in your brain to see it.
Well, you put it in my head.
Right.
I didn't know it was even being made. I didn't know anything about it. So I knew I wasn't going to see it. And then I saw it. And then I saw it.
And?
And what?
Tell the people what your reaction was. Is it going to be a movie that you're going to see? Was it lame? Was it scarier? What was your reaction?
I don't know. You were there. My eyes were closed for most of it.
I thought you saw the devil himself. If those listening, if you've seen the trailer, there's the part where...
Okay. Yeah. I know what you're going to say.
Where they go by the little sewer. I call it an American sewer because they don't have sewers here. And you see his face for the first time.
Yeah.
She screamed and ran out of the room. And you were behind me watching the trailer. Like we were standing in our bedroom watching the trailer. You were behind me holding me close. I think you had one eye above my shoulder to peek. But you really wanted to see it, but you were peeking.
If I remember correctly, I think I was shaking throughout the whole thing.
Like, you were shaking, And you grabbed my shirt. You were holding on tight.
I think I ripped the nipple off.
You pinched the nipple. You grabbed the nipple. When the clown was seen, I felt it. And then the very end, when you see him running towards the screen again, Daphne ran into the bedroom and started to convulse.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you found me in the cave, rolled up into a ball, rocking back and forth.
You were rocking back and forth. I was. Because you were so terrified.
And I had tears in my eyes.
You were, and this is, and I'm not laughing, for those listening, I'm not laughing because I'm a jerk or because I think Daph J's fears are funny. I consoled you, right?
Yeah, you did.
You know,
you did. You actually apologized. I said it's going to be okay. I shouldn't have watched it. You're like, yeah, you were supportive. We ordered takeout that night.
Yeah.
The door knocked. I screamed.
You thought it was here.
I thought we were going to die.
But this is the kicker, folks. As I'm like wiping the tears from her eyes and consoling her and apologizing.
No, not as nothing. Yes. Not as nothing. Yes.
Let me finish. She's crying.
Well, I had composed myself by then.
You're still shaking.
Yes, I was
shaking. Makeup had run. She was going back and forth. She looks at me and goes, Eric, I think I need to watch this movie. You can barely watch the trailer, and you've already decided that you think you have to watch it. I don't know what you... It's almost like you've got to go there and prove that I'm not scared of you.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I know I'm not going to watch it, but I just don't know what to do. I'm conflicted. Okay.
You're getting scared as we speak. Let's move on. You're starting to convulse as we speak.
No, I'm not. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm just saying, like... You know how there's things that you... You know... What?
You're getting emotional about it.
I'm just... I don't think I can watch... Like, I can't watch it. I know this about myself.
You think? I wouldn't let you watch it.
I don't think... Like, okay. Have you ever... Okay. I remember going to see Super 8.
That was good.
Yeah, it was a good one. However, I'm a screamer. I don't know if anybody knows
this. Maze Runner.
Like, I am a screamer when I watch movies. And I wonder if it's a disturbance to those around me. I don't... Even if I could muster up enough courage to try to go see this movie, I think people would, like cast me out. Because I would be... I have. Like, so much so that the guy next to me, when we went to go see Maze Runner, poor guy, spilled his popcorn all over the place. Because I had screamed.
You wouldn't stop screaming every time that spider was supposed to be seen in Maze Runner, that mechanical spider, whatever it is. Daph J would let out a Vicky Vale scream.
No, it wasn't that high-pitched.
It was high...
It was from the gut.
It was pure terror.
Yeah.
But the guy who was, like, two seats over from me, you scream, and I see popcorn. What a disturbance. I can't imagine what you would do watching it.
That's the thing. But, however, I wonder if... That being said, I wonder if... Like, isn't that the reaction that... They want from the audience?
I think so.
I don't think I'd be the only one. I mean, maybe I'd be the only one. But maybe I wouldn't be the only one. I screamed too when I went to go see... I was in New York City with my friend. And we went to go see Super 8. It was raining that afternoon. Like, what are we going to do? Let's stay dry. And yeah. Did a little screaming in there.
Yeah.
It was alright though. Not too many people. No one kicked me out.
You're hilarious.
I think it would be... I would be more... See... As afraid as I am, I'm more deterred from going to see it because I feel like I would ruin it for everyone else. So if I was to see it...
I have to be here with the lights on and sun outside.
And during the day.
During the day.
Oh my god! Okay. Are we gonna watch it? Are you telling me we're gonna watch it? What is that going to be? When is it coming out? Eric, when is it coming out? When is it happening? When is it happening? When is it coming out? October, right?
I have no idea. So when are they going to release it? I have no idea.
I'm getting hot.
So you don't have to watch it.
Oh my goodness, okay. But like, don't you like have to know? Like, don't you have to know?
Know what?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, even it's like going on a roller coaster, you know? Like, you're scared. You know you're going to be scared, but you want to like, I don't know. I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either. It if you can't even look at the picture. I think we should watch the trailer.
Whatever that is.
Let's watch the trailer live on the air so people can get your genuine reaction.
I said no.
Are you gonna watch it?
I said no. Eric, whatever's on your screen, I'm not looking, but whatever's on
there's
you
nothing
gotta get
there.
Of it.
There's
you
nothing
promise?
There. There's, I promise.
You promise?
I promise.
Oh my god.
I just wanted to see the date. September 8th is when it comes to theaters. So maybe, let's say, this time next year. During the day.
Okay.
I'm not gonna do that to you, you nutcase. Look at you. Alright, moving on. Do we need to take a break? Okay. Let's talk about rewatching Rogue One. Because it's come out on DVD or Blu-ray disc. And we only seen it the one time in the theater because we enjoyed it, but we didn't want to get like. We didn't want to overkill it how many times we've seen it. Not to say that you can't go rewatch it, but rewatching Rogue One.
My back hurts.
Yeah, sure, you're leaning on.
No, I'm tense. I'm really tense.
Rogue One. Yeah. No more ridiculousness.
Yeah.
How did you find watching it the second time?
Okay. Can I get some water?
Absolutely.
I need to get some water. I'll be back.
Okay. You good? Fresh?
I'm getting hydrated.
Okay.
My mouth felt dry. I'm good. Have water.
Where were we?
Rogue One saw it one time.
Right. So, having seen it now on Blu-ray disc in the comfort of your own home.
Okay. I know you know what's going on.
Right.
But for those that don't know what's going on. Okay, I'm shaky right now, okay?
Right.
However, my dog is just sitting in the middle of my hallway, staring at me. And I feel like, you know, like those horror movies where you see, like, children just standing in the hallway and they're just there. They just appear. This is freaking... Call me, you're freaking me out. Get over here. Just lie down.
Kobe wants her bedtime snack. Because she's tired, and she wants to go to bed, but she needs to eat first.
Is that what this is?
What it comes down to is she won't allow herself to sleep unless her belly's full. She's a girl who knows what she wants.
So is that? But she's just sitting there.
That's like, why she's looking at you like, "Are you gonna do what you gotta do or what?"
I have to feed her, and now I have to go feed her because she's freaking me out just sitting there looking like. The Shining. I'll be back.
We will get to Rogue One at some point in time. Shall we continue?
We can start again, yeah.
Okay. Rogue One. Second watch.
Yeah.
How does it hold up for you? Did you appreciate it more? Did you...
I felt like watching it the second time. I felt like I knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. The first one, I was like, huh?
Right.
And it's like, what? And it's like, where are we going now? And then it was like, who's this? And then it was like, oh. And then it was like, oh. And then it was like, ah! And then it was like, oh. Yeah.
Is that your way of, is that your movie review for Rogue One? Oh. Oh.
Well, yeah, but then watching
sound effects.
Watching it this time, it was like, yep. What?
That's you're killing me right now. So the first watch was oh, who's that? Why? Where are we going? Now it's yep.
It's
Do you realize it's all sound effects and one-worded comments?
I don't know.
That's how you should give movie reviews that way. Next time we go to the theater and we watch something, Daff, the verbal emotional spectrum of this movie, what was it like? Just to get your take on it. That was good. I like, because I completely know all the scenes you were talking about.
Right?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Well, yep.
Well, what did you think?
I was following the story a lot better
right.
this time around and appreciating all of the things that had been put in place. And because I guess, too, because I knew where what role certain characters played, I noticed a few more of the little nuances about them and all the little, you know who's who. You're not trying... Who's that person's name again?
Yeah.
What do they do? Oh, okay.
You know what? It was like watching Star Wars like I normally do.
Right.
You know, you watch Star Wars New Hope and you know who Princess Leia is. You you just know. You right. can watch all the Star Wars and you know, ooh, that's going to be that person or that person's going to have a connection with that person. Like, there was some kind of educated guess throughout these watches of all these movies, right? This one was the first one where I'm like, what is happening?
Right.
And they didn't even give you the luxury to explain where you are. There was no yellow brick road. There was no explanation as to who, timeline, nothing. So, watching it a second time around, it was like, oh, I anticipated certain stuff.
Right.
And I'm surprised because I only saw it the one time, however long ago it came out.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I can see why people who really did like it and went numerous times to the theater to watch it and took a lot from it, I can see why. Paying closer attention to the dialogue and who the roles that certain characters play and where they get picked up from and the... Even though I understood the Kyber Crystal association, I knew what they... But to pay a little bit closer attention to scenes of actually seeing them,
right.
being able to pause it, rewinding something to get the full, okay, that's what specifically was said, what I missed in the theater. And, I really, really like the final act when they're on that... I can't remember the name of the planet now.
Ibu? Not Ibu.
No.
Jadu?
Not Jeddah.
Oh.
It was the one where... the beach, basically.
Yeah.
But just seeing a Star Wars scene filmed in that sort of a environment and with the dogfight that's taking place in such great detail, so much action, looked really, really strong. The effects were great. I just was so, enveloped in it. And then when you don't see much of him, but when you do see Vader again, you still are scared of that scene.
Dude.
It doesn't live up to the way I felt in the theater because it was...
Huh.
But it's still pretty awesome.
Yeah, I cried again.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I didn't...
Are you more scared of Vader or Pennywise?
Okay, can we please... I have my nasal drip happening right now. I keep having to clear... throat. I can't handle this right now. I can't do it again, okay? Excuse me. Yeah, he's scary in this one. Very threatening.
That's what he should be.
I know, but I think in the other movies, he's always been like, you know, you saw him as a person. You saw him as, like, in the prequels, not that, you know, but you knew he was a person at some point, that he loved someone, that he wanted a family, or... You know, even then, when he was fighting Luke, he was like, I'm your father, join me. Like, there was some kind of human association. Like, this time I just saw him just as a monster. Like, he just didn't care. He was just like, get it done. And if you're not going to let me do it myself.
Right.
And it was ruthless about it. Like, not that he never wasn't, but like... Even in that room where he was like, I don't know, I can't explain it. There was something different about him, more menacing. this time around.
Yeah.
As opposed to when he spoke.
He's a ruthlessness. He's a Sith, right? You really see the full effect of it and how life really, like, doesn't mean much to him if he has to eliminate it.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
Well, that's why Darth Vader's one of the best villains.
Although, right? Even though I watched it differently, it still made me feel the same. I still felt like, what a bummer. Everyone's going to die. Like, when we were watching it, it's like, oh, yeah, well, he's not gonna make it.
I remember one part of the movie you were asking, is that person dead? Or is, like, did the Jin's mother die? And I'm like, listen, this is Rogue One. Everybody dies. Just assume they're dead.
Yeah.
No, it was really good. I am happy to have it in the collection, and I...
Would you say at this point that you're... opinion of it has changed? Like, you know how a lot of people were saying, oh, it was so much better than what's the one that came out,
Force Awakens?
Yeah, because a lot of people were comparing the two.
It's an unfair comparison because
so your feelings on that still are the same?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say, oh, this is a better movie than that one, or this is better than Rogue One. I think Rogue One stands on its own. It is a standalone film that it connects parts of the mythology in a really, really good way and explains things that were always questioned in regards to the Death Star, how it could be easily destroyed. Like, all of that stuff really is, I think, adds such a nice touch to the Star Wars franchise. And thankfully, the movie was good. The action was great. It felt like the Star Wars I grew up watching.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I felt disconnected with the prequels because everything was so kind of shiny and it seemed more technologically advanced than the Star Wars I grew up with or knew. So this one seemed more closely connected to the stuff that I associate with Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I had a great time watching it. And I love K2SO. This time around, even more, like, paid more attention to little things he does. There was more investment, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I had seen it. But yeah, it holds up. I really like it. I really enjoyed it. But as far as saying it's better, I don't even compare them in that way. Is it a better movie? Debatable. It may be. But is it a better Star Wars movie? I don't know.
Rank your droids.
Rank my droids. Wow. Man. I gotta go R2. Just because there's so much more. There's 6 movies of R2.
Yeah.
More than that. 6-7 movies of R2, right?
Yeah.
Where he's played such a pivotal role. Him and C-3PO, that's like home.
Yeah.
I really liked BB-8 though in K2SO.
I thought he was the most practical.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like as much as C-3PO has a lot of dialogue, this K2SO almost had like body language.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was cool.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I have a friend that looks like him.
Long skinny legs.
Yeah.
I think I know the friend. And if he's listening, he knows who it is. What else we got on the docket here, Daf J? We rewatched Rogue One. We talked about Justice League Unlimited. The trailer that terrified the pants off you.
Well, we saw Homecoming.
Spider-Man Homecoming, the recent, yes.
Yeah.
Second trailer. July 17th, I think is the date for it.
Or something.
Yeah. 7/17/2017.
Oh.
Lots of sevens. What are your, anticipating it? Are you, like, done with the Spider-Man character as far as films are concerned?
See, this is what I was trying to say about, you know, that guy.
Okay.
The thing.
Okay.
The thing that we won't say.
Okay.
But it's like as many times as I've seen or know the story about Spider-Man, it's like I have to watch it. It's like Justice League. I don't want to watch it, but I'm going to have to watch it.
But do you want to watch Spider-Man?
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah. What's, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
What's... I feel like you've always been kind of... You've never been opposed to watching Spider-Man movies when they come to the theater. But I feel like you've got a hang-up with Spider-Man as, like, a character. Like, I've tried to get you to read Spider-Man comics, and you've just couldn't get in. You just never kind of started to get into them. Or, but the movies, the repeat value of watching them, you really don't want to. What is it about the character or what you've seen about
it? I like the idea of Spider-Man. Right. I like everything about him. I like the fact that he doesn't have it all. He has challenges like everyone else. He's relatable.
You like Spider-Man Blue. I remember you liked that a lot.
I like that he's... I don't know what it is that doesn't make me want to go back and rewatch movies. I don't know what it is that doesn't make me want to read something about him. I don't know what it is.
Rank your Spider-Man movies.
I can't do that.
Why?
Because I don't think I know them well enough to be able to do it.
Okay, fair enough.
I know which ones I hate.
Which ones do you hate?
The one with the... With that emo...
Yeah, Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, can't stand that one. Is Sandman in that one?
Yeah. And Venom.
I don't think I like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans at all. Scratch all of them. I think those are also in the Phantom Zone.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I don't like Mary Jane. Absolutely don't like her.
That Spider-Man 2 was really good.
Which, how does that one go?
That's the one with Dr. Octopus. I thought that was a good Spider-Man film. Personally.
Yeah, I don't know anymore. I think I'm not a fan. Not that I'm not a fan of the character. I just don't think I've been impressed with how he's been portrayed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's making me hesitate. Although this trailer, I liked a couple of things about it. I like Michael Keaton.
Yeah?
I think he's a fanboy. Like, every episode I'm gonna...
You're gonna throw out who you think is...
Yeah, I think he's a fanboy. I don't know. I like when he looks gritty and mean and... Like, I think he's a great actor. I forget that... I don't think people do typecast him. I think he's a great
actor. Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't remember him being other things. When he plays a role, I just see him in the moment. And I liked him, and I liked his threatening something. There was something about him in this trailer. I was like, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, no, I think...
And I'm normally not for the villain, but him, I'm like, yeah, I want to see what you do.
Yeah. Vulture's a very interesting character.
I'm interested in wondering why they went with that character.
Spider-Man, I would say arguably, and I've said this with Jazz and Ronnie, in my books, I think he's got the best rogues gallery in comic books.
You think? But they're the most out there. Like, the most unbelievable.
Here's why. Not to say that they're the best in regards to, like, obviously, Batman's rogues gallery are very complex and interesting because of the psychological aspects of them, right? They're demented. They're insane. They belong in asylums. They got multiple personalities. All of those factors make his rogues gallery
have... Or they're just very passionate people.
Sure. However you want to look.
Well, yeah, I think Pamela is very passionate. It's just being interpreted a little bit excessive.
She'll kill people for plants. That's you're insane. Yeah,
but the thing is, we're all gonna die if the plants aren't around. Trees give us oxygen. That's one of the things I learned in the second grade. Right? And race too. It's all like for a good cause.
But they're sociopaths, right?
I understand that, so but I think it's like politicians, right? At first, they want to do something for the people, and make a difference in the community, but then power corrupts. Oh, look at me getting deep.
I don't think that was the story of the Joker. But what I was getting at, I think I mentioned it in an episode with them, I'm not sure. But who's Batman's number one villain? If you had to, you being a Batman fan, above all. Who's his number one villain?
Mad Hatter. Toyman.
Toyman's Spider-Man. A Superman villain.
No, there's a Toyman. Oh, not Toyman. This guy.
I don't know who that is.
This, the one that was taking children. Not Candyman. That's a movie.
What book is he from? Who's taking children?
Yeah.
So in your books, Mad Hatter is number one.
Okay, I do have a fear of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that's another.
That's a demo movie. By far. It's a crazy movie. And he, you know, a little bit obsessive, that guy.
Who's the guy taking children?
I don't know.
Who has the... You're scratching the front of your face. I'm trying to figure out what that means.
He... It's not Toyman?
Toyman took children, yeah. Yeah. That's a Superman villain. Ugh. But he I think, can sometimes be in the Batman world. So Toyman...
The condiment guy.
Condiment King. Oh, good lordy.
Lordy.
Good lordy.
Wow.
Where in
the world buckle down. Did that come from?
That, because where in the world did Condiment King come from?
All right, I'll give you the obvious answer. Dark. All right, I'll pay attention. Killer Croc.
Okay.
See? He's like the lizard guy in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They got the same stuff.
No, I'm not comparing it as far as, like, whose villains are more severe. I'm not saying, like, on a level of power for power. If you answer my question, who's Batman's greatest villain?
Does he wear a purple jacket?
Yes. I would say.
Does he have a flower that throws acid? Brother.
See?
Well, you're asking me a rhetorical question.
Because you know what? If somebody said to me that Ra's al Ghul is Batman's number one nemesis, I would be like, that's a good pick. But I think everyone kind of knows, you know, Batman... automatically Joker, right? It's just how it is. But with Spider-Man, over the years, depending on who's writing the book, he Green Goblin could be that character and kind of was for a while. But for the last couple years, it seems like Dr. Octopus is more of Spider-Man's number one nemesis. Or it
could... Who says? In the comics?
Yes.
Or, oh, see, I wouldn't know.
Right. So what I'm getting at is he's got a number of villains who can step into that Joker slot for him. That could be his number one. That could be, like, you know, his... And sometimes the Vulture can even be that, depending on who... In the 80s, when Roger Stern wrote Spider-Man, very, very celebrated collection of Spider-Man stories. His favorite villain was Vulture, so he wrote him... more than anybody else.
What's the Vulture's power? Is he just a Birdman? Get it?
Yes, because Michael Keaton played Birdman.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut your face. I just said it and got it.
You didn't even get it.
Oh, man.
You're such a dork.
Whoa. Mind blown. Right now. So what does he even do?
He's a master thief. He's been a master thief all his life, obviously. Like a
cat burglar?
Kind of like a cat burglar, but he's got like a technological suit that allows him to fly.
And I feel like in the cartoons, he always looked older.
He is, yes.
And he was an actual bird. Like, it wasn't a suit, was it?
No, it looked like that. Like, he had like a vulture suit on.
With It was a suit.
He wasn't but he was like a senior citizen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which always kind of made the opposition very interesting because the suit gave him that added power. But now Spider-Man, a young kid, is fighting a senior citizen who is a hardened master thief for a lifetime that is automatically smarter.
So he's seasoned.
Right. Mm. Exactly. So I just feel like Spider-Man's villains, there's a lot you can go to the well for and come up with a really compelling story. Or I feel you can do the exact same with Batman, for sure. Two-Face is... I just feel that they always ultimately go to Joker.
Yeah, but I think the reason why they always go to Joker is because there's a classicness about it.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. You're 100% right. So I'm not taking anything away from the Batman Rogues Gallery. It's so hard. You'd be hard-pressed to come up with a better one. I'm just saying that when it comes to Spider-Man, you have... the very close, everyone's kind of closely related to him in some capacity, where his best friend's father is his greatest villain, or a scientist who he was tutored by becomes one of his greatest villain, who also was dating his aunt at some point in time.
That's weird.
Right?
That's weird.
Dr. Connors is a close associate of Peter's. But as Spider-Man, he fights him. Like, there's always that sort of connection that gives him that conflict of, I'm fighting this guy.
But isn't that every superhero? Well, not really, I guess.
Not always, right? Yeah. Not always.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything against Spider-Man. I have an issue just getting into it.
Yeah. And I think that the movies have been hit and miss. They haven't all been very good.
And because I'm not an avid Spider-Man reader or don't know much about him than the obvious, you know, Uncle Ben and Aunt May and, you know, Spidey Senses and, you know, what's her phase name? Mary Jane. Like, I know the obvious stuffs.
Right.
But I know more of the movies than I do of the comics. And I think that's what affects my... I don't know, my what's the word I'm looking for?
Opinion.
My opinion, my reaction, my
anticipation
of this particular character. I like him. When you talk about him, and when I hear different people talk about him, the little that I have read about him, he's an intriguing character by far, and I think he's the most relatable too. But if I'm speaking honestly, I can only talk about what I've seen on screen.
Yeah,
and that. That throws me.
Yeah, and it hasn't been great. I really liked the Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone. I thought that was really good. With the Lizard.
Yeah.
That one I really liked.
Yeah.
I wasn't
a fan of the story so much, but I liked him.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked him a lot as Peter and Spider-Man. I thought it was much closer to what it should be.
Yeah.
I don't know if we had the podcast yet when we watched Amazing Spider-Man 2, but that was obviously a fail because now they reverted back to Marvel Studios to give Sony Studios a help, right, and an assist in continuing this franchise. And my only concern is not if the movie will be good or not. It's just more of three different versions of this character in... you know, 15 years, are people just tired of it?
I don't think they're gonna... I think the tiring thing of it is the whole Uncle Ben recap. I don't think they're gonna dip into that anymore. I think we all know what happened.
Yeah, I think so too. Do you feel that because neither of these versions are associated with each other, that people will just be like, well, which one is this now? Is he taking over the role? Am I starting over again? None of that before counts. Do you know what I mean? Do you think that affects people?
No. I think there were so many people that were fans of the Avengers. I think everyone is like, that's their baseline. And if that's where they introduced the Underoos, then that's going to become their Spider-Man.
That's true, too. Because that's a good point. Because they introduced him in this world already. Yeah. So people already have an appetizer of what to expect. That's a good point. I like that.
I like the trailer so far, what I saw. What I'm not a fan of, actually, which I guess people would be happy about because, how do I say it? I like it and I don't like it. I like the fact that some Avenger shows up in this movie because that's how he came in, right?
Right.
And for him to, like I've said before, like when something's going down in some movies, it's like, how do these people not realize that something's wrong and they're going to not help each other? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I understand if they're on another mission or whatever, but I'm sorry. If the world is falling apart and, you know, the ground is flying.
You're all in New York.
Yeah. Like,
chip in.
Someone should, you know, maybe...
we can assist.
You know, tweet someone. Like, do something.
Send a WhatsApp.
You know, you have a headquarters. It's in the middle of Manhattan. You're going to tell me none of y'all decide to show up?
I like that. Send a tweet.
But, so I like the fact that the dude, that Tony Stark is the Avenger that appears to be appearing heavily in this movie. I don't like that it's him, though.
Yeah, you're not a fan of Tony Stark.
And I think it's because... But I also don't like that from, again, what I saw in the trailer, it's almost like he's trying to be, like, fatherly figure, kind of, like, mentor. And, again, I know that's how he brought him in.
Mm-hmm.
But that part in the... And I'm not spoiling it because it's a trailer, so if you're going to watch it, you're going to see it. That part where he says to Peter, give me back the suit. And he's like, no, I'm nothing without the suit. And he's like, well, if you think you're nothing without the suit, then you don't deserve to have. So I don't know what kind of little blurb he decided to give him. It's like, since when do you... Like, no, Captain America is the one that speaks with sense and justice and understanding and compassion. Like, you're the douchebag that just, you know, likes to have the last word and is argumentative and likes to push people's buttons. Like, I feel like they're pushing the matter with him a little bit. I don't know where they're going with it.
Mm. Okay. I think because Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man is the Batman of the Marvel movie universe, to have him be the connecting piece with these
movies.
Why?
Because he's rich?
No. I'm saying the role that he plays in regards to the team and the star power of Robert Downey Jr. and the success that the Iron Man films have. Like, whether the movies have been good or not, people go out... Those movies are making $1 billion. An Iron Man movie... Iron Man 3 was like $800 million or close to $1 billion for Iron Man 3 because people like the character. They like Robert Downey Jr. So I think because of that star power, it's a money draw, right? He's drawing money to the movie.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I don't understand why he's there. I'm saying I just don't like it.
Right. And that's...
Out of all the Avengers, you're going to pick him? To knock some sense into this kid?
Well, he's the one who's, like you said before, introduced him to the crew.
Well, I can't ignore the obvious. Like, I can't be like... I can't have an opinion without acknowledging...
And the suits from him. So, I think it was all set in stone. Like, and they have a history. Tony and Peter have a history where Tony did build Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, there's some sort of precedence for that to be... For that to be the way it is. And it should be cool to see them flying through New York City together, like swinging the web. And
that was the other thing. There was a part in the trailer where something's going on with Spider-Man, and then Iron Man shows up. But the camera angle was kind of like, this is the true hero. You know what I mean? Like, he's here to save the day. Whatever's happening, he's going to fix it. I'm just like... I don't know, this is a Spider-Man movie. Why is this about you? You know what I mean? Rockstar, go home. Like, I don't know. There's something about him I don't like.
You hate Tony Stark, eh? And recently, for those listening, I made a comparison of Iron Man to Batman for Daff J, and she was not having it. That was a whole other discussion. We should do a podcast episode on that.
That wasn't a discussion. That was a full-out argument.
I think you were arguing. I was saying, wait a second. Just wait a second. Let me explain my mind. No, no. I disagree with the point you haven't made yet. That's more what it was like.
Yeah, but I needed a timeout that day.
But Iron Man has become that character for Marvel Comics, where you associate, if you add him to it, for some reason, it's just like Batman. For some reason, everything has to be associated with Batman now. Suicide Squad has to have Batman in it. All these DC animated movies, he has to be on the cover of it, right? They can't just make, name a random character from DC. Batman has to be tied in somehow, because if he's not, people may not buy it. It's just a selling point. Oh, okay, Batman's in it. I gotta watch it. Do you know what I mean? If I came home with you to you and I said I got a DC animated movie, a Booster Gold, and Blue Beetle,
I'd give it a chance.
Would you want to watch it?
Yeah.
But if I said, but that Batman's part of the story, then you have to watch it. Like, I gotta know what's happening with the guy, right? You can't miss a chapter of what he's doing. So I think that's kind of become what Marvel does. Is, you know, you add Iron Man to these movies and people are going to go back to okay, it's a real...
You have so many other characters. It's not like...
Who'd you rather put there? But listen,
no. DC hasn't made as many movies portraying a bunch of DC characters. All we have on screen so far is Batman and Superman. Wonder Woman hasn't even appeared yet. They're working on it. Now, Marvel has Captain America, Black Widow, has Hawkeye, has the Hulk, has the Thor. There's so many that you can choose from. DC's just showing up to the party.
I think the only ones that would make sense, though.
So, of course, they're going to put all... I know DC's Batman heavy. Yes, you've said this, and to a certain extent, of course, I agree. But you can't... I don't think this is apples and oranges at this point. And Marvel, okay? I don't know if it's the same universe, but then you also have the Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's already five people in a team. Like, that's enough. That's a lot going on right there.
Yeah, you're right. They do have more. They've got a wider cast of people that they could include in Spider-Man's world. But the one that does make sense the most would either be Cap or Tony Stark.
Okay, and then make it Cap. Make it different.
Don't want to see Tony Stark. That's all it comes down to. You're not. It's not. There's no logic behind it. It's just I'm sick of seeing Tony Stark. You hate him. That's all it is. That's what it really comes down to.
Amen.
Are you saying amen or amen?
That's my opinion. Will you like it? You like the trailer? You looking forward to it?
I'm always down for something Spider-Man because I love the character a lot. I'm just concerned if it's...
It's just over.
It's over. Like, it's...
It's over. It's been... It's overcooked.
Yeah. I hope it really swings back into what it should be. It's or not, what it could have been. I just feel like that's the third time.
Third time's a charm, maybe.
Maybe third time's a charm, but I feel like it's the third time. How many reboots of this character are we going to do in a decade? And all different actors, all different tones. Which one? I don't know. But I'm happy.
I think we're living in a part of society now that, you know what, it doesn't matter. Like, things are so disposable. People take tons and tons and tons of pictures. And,
that's, you know, the thing,
there's
right?
No value in even just a photo now. You know, before I used to, like, take time, you used to... Make sure you just got that one shot because you had what 18 little chances, like the, and then you had to go take it to get it developed. And then the ones that weren't burnt, right. You put it in a frame, and you know what I mean? Like, now, you know, people used to video record and put it on their VCRs and stuff. Now we're just video recording people getting beaten up by the police. Now we get
by the police,
like, or we see like puppies and. You know, everything is just in the moment. Pictures here. You know what? I'm using an analogy, but like, everything is so disposable. People are just willing to try something. If it doesn't work, scratch that. We'll start again.
Yeah.
Because it's still gonna generate money.
Yeah.
It don't matter.
Yeah, it's true. I hope it does well. All Eyes on Me, Tupac movie, 2017.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that trailer?
Okay, I gotta tell you how impressed I am with the casting that they've done.
Very good.
Everybody looks like
very good.
They've been risen by the dead from the dead.
It's very good. You're right.
Dude.
And I think the same guy who played Biggie in the Biggie movie is playing Biggie in this movie.
I don't think so. The guy in the Biggie movie, wasn't he blacker? He was darker. This guy, he looked a little lighter, I think.
Let me look it up. Mind if I look it up just to be sure?
Yeah, check it out.
I feel like he was. But you're right. The guy who played...
Even the guy that's playing Suge. Like,
man, I don't know. Suge is getting from the Compton movie to now Tupac. Like, his character is becoming, like, folklore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He's showing up in all of these different films. So interesting, the time we're living in, how it's over 20 years ago, stories from our, you know, when we were in school,
we were teenagers.
It's crazy.
Oh man.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know where they're going with this. I think they're trying to tell, like, a, what is this, like a biography kind of
thing? Yeah, a biopic. Yeah,
a biopic.
Yeah,
I mean, they're going so far back as to, I guess, even demonstrate, like, where his family, like, his mother was a part of the Black Panther Party.
Right.
And they're telling, I guess, that story and how it made him, I guess, become so vocal and passionate about injustice and bringing things to light, and how that was unpopular with law enforcement and, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
yeah. I think it looks interesting.
Just checked it up. It is the same guy.
No way.
Yeah, Jamal Woolward. He's playing Biggie in both of those movies. It's a pretty cool connection. Wow. Yeah.
Good pickup, because I completely did not see it that way.
Yeah. But this one looks like it's going to be a much better film than the Notorious was. Notorious was not good.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I don't know.
Well, the casting so far feels like you feel more... It's important in these biopics for...
The physicality, people,
all to of those be accurate. Things. Yeah, as best as you can.
Because that's the only way you can actually see the story come through.
It's true. Because in the Notorious movie, some of the people that they got to play certain characters, one, you could have gotten the real people to play them.
Yeah.
Play themselves, right? Because they're still alive and they still are young enough to do it. But it was
Black
just...
Black don't crack. It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
It's true. It's true.
Your skin is so luscious.
But you didn't... It was just like, that was... Why was the guy who played this character 8 years old? He looked like he was coming out of grade 5 as opposed to being, you know, a 20-year-old or something like that. It just... You got out of it really quick.
Mm.
This one, you feel like, wow. Was there a camera at all of these things? And there was, but...
There were surveillance cameras.
Yeah. It looks pretty legit. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I wonder, though, if they're trying to put him in the particular light of, like, a hero?
I think...
Not a hero. A martyr, maybe? Like, someone who wanted to make a difference and then was like...
Yes.
Like, yes. Pun intended, gunned down for it.
Yes. Demetrius Shipp Jr. looks like Tupac. That's the guy who's playing him.
Man.
Yeah. They did a good job.
I hope that just because they look like it, like, I hope they're able to also act just as well as they look the part. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you hope that it wasn't just based off of a look.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Because that will... I guess at that point, if you're not playing the role right, it doesn't matter how good you look. If you just sound like you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. And you can see through that quick. Interesting, they got Cat Graham playing Jada Pinkett Smith.
Who's that?
It's this girl. She's playing Jada Pinkett.
Oh.
She was Jada Pinkett.
Yeah,
was
they were close friends.
Of Tupac's. Just put Jada Pinkett in it.
She still looks like yesterday. Like, she looks like 20 years ago.
You know what I mean? Like, she could have just been...
Maybe, who knows? Maybe they did approach her and she probably said it was too close to home, right? Maybe she just thought...
I guess. I mean, Ocean's 11, they got Julia Roberts to pretend to be Julia Roberts. Why can't they just get Jada Pinkett to be Jada Pinkett? I don't know. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know.
I always, when these movies capturing, it's good that they've waited this long. You know what
cheeses me? Going on your point, it's like if you're, because I feel like too, when they do films like this, there's always someone that has something to say about it. Like, well, that's not what really happened. You were portrayed in the movie. How come you... Then if you really wanted it to be told, then you should have been in it. Or had something to do with it. Or... Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. How many times do we see a movie where they say, yeah, that's not... Or... Didn't Etta James one time, like, complain about something, or...
Beyonce playing her.
Not just playing her. I would have complained if Beyonce played me, too. I'm just talking in general. Like, isn't that the typical, like, well, that's not the whole story. But, yeah. Like, you're here, you're not going to say it. Tell me what was wrong.
But here's the thing, right? Is that a lot of times, if you are perhaps the villain in this person's life, they're not going to come and ask you, hey, we're going to be crapping on you in this movie.
No, obviously.
Right? So that's usually why you hear those.
But, like... Inner circle people, unless of course they know certain things that they want to keep in the DL.
Some of them weren't asked. Some of them, I heard Lil C's, who was Lil Notorious B.I.G.'s close friend. They were like, "Why didn't you just play?" He's like, "I wasn't asked. I wanted to. I would have. They didn't want me to." And even people were like, "Why didn't they just ask C's to play the part, so that we could all be, you know, people who weren't." I heard it from sources who were in the circle of that time. Maybe they weren't portrayed in the movie or needed to be portrayed in the movie, but they're like, you know, it was nice that they made a movie for him, but there's a lot.
They missed the mark.
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't look good.
So hopefully that they get this one. I'm sure they will. I have a feeling. But we'll see. Hey. Anything else on the docket?
Nah, man.
Let me see what you've got written on your list. I love your little book. You're so well organized. Recent reads. What is good? What to skip?
Okay, so this is the thing, right? I wrote that down because I figure we always end up talking about something we always give, like, good reviews of stuff. But we never... You never really say anything. You know what? I went through this thing and it was crap. I don't remember you saying anything like that.
I try to keep it positive, because I usually complain a lot in real life. So I gotta try to spread love to the... You know, I don't want to showcase any... Like, the things that I've hated on this show, I keep bringing up.
That's true.
So I try to keep it as positive.
You're holding on to a grudge. Yes. Just a tad.
Just a little bit. So I try to... Everything that I do talk about, I want to have fun talking about it. But you want to know some things that I would skip? I got some stuff. So I've been a big supporter of DC Rebirth, as you know. Almost everything I've read from DC Rebirth has been worth the money, but there has been a few things.
I hope so.
Yes. There has been...
I don't actually be pissing it away and garbage.
No. There has been a couple things that were misses. One of them was the Justice League. Art looks great. I'm not a big fan of the scripting. Of the story. Just, I didn't find it engaging. I didn't find, like, it was kind of like watching a blockbuster movie with a lot of action, but you didn't really know what was a weak story, weak scripting. And I think
I've... Like the upcoming movie. I understand.
Possibly.
Gotcha.
I've realized, as much as comic books are art-driven, I don't think pretty pictures... I'd rather take so-so art or something that I'm not crazy about, but with a really strong script and really strong story, over really beautiful pictures
and a mediocre story.
Yeah. I've realized
that. Is something you read recently?
Justice League was a few months... I mean, it wasn't the worst thing I've read, but I wouldn't recommend anybody having to pick that up from DC Rebirth with all of the praise that I've given. And I've recently read Batgirl. I wasn't too crazy about that, again, because of the scripting.
So are you selling these back to those bookstores?
Yeah, I'll trade them back in and try to get something else from it.
So what? Why did you do that? Don't you look at reviews and stuff?
I do.
And?
And they were respectable reviews, and I asked some people in the comic shop, like, hey, what do you think of this? And they're like, yeah, it's good. So I, based on people's opinions who I trust, I went for it, and I thought, you know, sometimes too, when you read or when you collect comics, they rate it issue by issue, which is naturally what you should do. It's like rating a television show issue by issue, but sometimes once you complete the story, then that last piece of the puzzle can make the rest of it be better than what it was like coming out piece for piece. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So sometimes I want to give it the benefit of the doubt. Just because it's getting not rave reviews, maybe it'll still be something I enjoy once the whole story comes together. But
fair. That's a fair assessment of the material, that you're not biased to a particular thing.
So the Batgirl wasn't bad. Like, the art I really liked. The story was good. It just felt a little bit juvenile, the way it was written and kind of the way they go about the relationship that Barbara's having in the book. It just kind of felt teeny bopperish for me. So I wasn't engaged. I wasn't invested in it. I didn't feel the depth of the story. So I wouldn't recommend those.
Anything that you've read that's very different that you enjoyed? That you took a risk on and you liked?
Yeah, I read this trade called Animosity from Aftershock Comics, which was not something that I would normally pick up. It wasn't superhero based, but it's a story basically where something's happened and the animals have woken up. And what I mean by woken up is that now they have free will and ability to think and speak.
Ooh.
So, what happens in a world where the animals can now fight back from the mistreatment that they've faced against man?
Oh.
So, it can be pretty vicious. Sometimes you feel pretty good for what the animals do. But then there's a relationship between... the main character is a young girl and her pet dog. And how
I already can't do this.
And how just the, as much as the animals have been like, you know what, we don't need the people, let's turn on them, the dog is like, that's my person, and I'm protecting them, and I'll die for them. And it's their journey together throughout this new...
So will the animals take over, kind of thing?
It's kind of like an uprising.
Good for them.
It's an interesting take. I think you would like it, but there's certain things that are in the book that you wouldn't like. So I wouldn't recommend it to you.
Yeah, I don't think I could I'd chance it.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it to you. But the premise of it, I think, would really be appealing to you. But it's kind of frightening, like, what certain breeds could accomplish if that did happen.
Oof.
Right?
Yeah.
Even things like birds, like what they could do if they all were able to suddenly...
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's cool.
Like what? Give me an example. Okay, something that won't give me nightmares, okay?
I think just that, like, if a bird gained consciousness and wanted to take out a person, like, they could.
They could peck your eye out.
Yeah, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Pick up that baby. You know?
Yeah.
It's stuff like, you know, just things you never think of. And it's like, oh, yeah, that if they became an intelligent race where...
But they're
it's
only
like Planet
doing,
of the Apes in a way, right?
Right, right. But they're only doing that because they've been mistreated?
Some
or
of them have been
feel
mistreated.
Or they feel that they're at the bottom of the food chain kind of thing, and now they're in a position of power, and they're just taking over.
It's a mixture of things. It's a combination of we've been mistreated, or they're the enemy, or now we're as smart as they are.
What's it called? Animosity?
Animosity.
Yeah. Wow.
And I picked it up because Mike Ruth had done some variant covers for it. So because of that, I'm like, oh, this is something he worked on in some way. Let me see what it's...
What it's all about.
What it's all about. Got rave reviews. And it was good. It was really cool. It was scary.
You were scared?
Yeah, parts of it you were just kind of like... It could get vicious because of the premise.
From the point of view of the animals or the people?
Both.
Oh, both. See, I see that.
Because sometimes the animals fight each other. When they're like, oh, you're still supporting the people. You still want to be with them, right?
That sounds...
Yeah. It's cool. Not that I like the viciousness. No, but it's just the, like, the premise. Perspective
of certain things.
Yeah. So that was a really good... I'm not going to say off the wall, but something that goes against the superhero grain that I like.
Mm-hmm. Very different. You know what was different that I saw you reading?
What's that?
The Flintstones.
Yeah. Yes. I have that right here. Thank you for reminding me. I thought about that. So, DC has a Hanna-Barbera universe that they do all of the old cartoons. They have one book called Future Quest, which is like Johnny Quest and all these other people that were part of the Hanna-Barbera cartoon filmation thing. So, it's like a team-up book where they have all of them kind of in one storyline. That was pretty fun to read. They got a Scooby-Doo.
Hmm.
And then they have this Flintstones. I had no interest in reading it, but in all of these year-end reviews of like what to read, what's been standout series, Flintstones was on a lot of those lists. So I figured, you know what, when it comes out in a collected form where I can read it together, I'll give it a shot. And the trades... fairly priced, you know, $60.99 for the first six issues, which is good, and it's really well done because it takes this prehistoric group of people that we all know from the cartoons, which is, you know, funny. It was like the Honeymooners animated show, but it takes a lot of the issues that we talk about today and puts it in perspective of their era. So things like politics, things like religion. Things like relationships, science, all of these different things that we are debating today.
In that era.
In that era, and how it would have affected how they lived their lives. It's really cool.
Whoa.
It's some of it can be, depending on what your beliefs are, you know, insulting, or just making you think. And you wouldn't think that the Flintstones would do that.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's the whole issue about marriage and the value of it and how, you know, the people of that era were like, marriage is the worst thing you can do to the human race because we're supposed to, you know,
just fill the earth.
Yeah. You know, like, we're supposed to breed.
Yeah.
And you're trying to limit it to this idea of monogamy. Like, that's crazy. And then other people are like, no, this is a good thing. For our society.
Right.
And then, you know, there's a gay couple in the book. And then the person who was promoting marriage is suddenly like, oh no, we can't do this. Type of thing, right? So it makes you kind of be like... You get what they're trying to do socially.
So they shy away from any topic. Not shying
away from any topic, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is interesting.
Is it still funny? Is it still like Flintstones like?
It is. It's still funny because... Because
it sounds like it's a... What's the word now? How come I have no words
satire?
Today?
Satire?
No. Satirical? Like a heavy tone. Like for you to be saying that they're talking about politics, religion, and...
It's still Flintstones.
Okay.
That's the thing.
Okay.
It's so you get all of these... It very directly talks about the subject matter of that issue, but it also pokes fun at it all. Where at you it, laugh at it.
Themselves or at the subject?
At themselves and the subject.
Okay.
And the world they live in.
Okay.
Right?
That's interesting. So,
it makes you laugh. It makes you laugh. scenes of Fred going bowling, and you know, he has like an armadillo that's a bowling ball. So when the armadillo goes back home and talks to all the other appliances in the house, and he's explaining what his day was like, it's good. It's really well done. It's from Mark Russell and Steve Pugh. I think that's how you say the name. P-U-G-H. I don't want to say Pooh. Steve Pugh. Yeah, it's good. I recommend that.
What'd you think of the art? I see the cover. It looks...
That's the cover art. I don't think all the art on the inside is like that.
Oh, okay. Hey, but Pebbles is not a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it puts them in school. Her and Bam Bam are in school together, and they're a little bit older. I think there's like the seedlings of it, but okay. Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's really good, surprisingly. Good read.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Something maybe you should read on the bus to work that day. You would laugh. I think you would laugh out loud. And I've been on this Valiant Comics tip still.
Yeah?
Yeah, me and Martin Slam Duncan have both agreed that it's probably, I would say, the best product of comics in the world today.
Whoa, that's a huge statement.
Yeah, DC Rebirth is a success on almost all fronts, but Valiant Comics, because they don't over-publish their stuff, everything is quality.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Right? So, in ratio of, like, DC has, you know, 50 titles that they put out a month, and I would say 40 of them are really good, you know? So, 8 out of 10. Whereas Valiant Comics does 10 titles a month, and it's like 10 out of 10 are good.
Right.
So, the quality writers, quality artists, they got a little universe. I've talked about it before, but I just recently finished reading Archer and Armstrong,
mm-hmm.
which is like, it's kind of like an archaeological secret society debunking. Crew of guys, two guys. One guy's like an immortal. He's kind of like a Vandal Savage. Not a bad guy. He's just lived on and on and on and on. And he's got all of these different... He's lived through history. So he's got all of these different connections to, you know, Michelangelo and the Vatican. But then he was also alive during the Civil War. And he was also alive during the Dark Ages of Robin Hood. Like, he references all of these things that he's done in his life.
Right.
And then the other guy is, his name's Obadiah Archer, and he was raised in kind of like a religious cult in America, but they're part of a greater sect that is trying to, they're basically like the 1%. So if you want to think of a secret society today that's trying to run the world, he was raised in that, then he realizes that it's all a lie, what he's been raised to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So he's now teamed up with Armstrong, who was initially the thing he was supposed to kill in order to help give his secret society power.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know that. He thought he was on like a righteous mission to eliminate like an agent of the devil, because he was raised in like a Christian cult.
Oh.
Right?
Right.
But he's like super trained martial artist who has like the ability of accuracy. So whatever you teach him, he can do it to the greatest extent. If you teach him martial arts, he'll be a fantastic martial artist. If you teach him to play basketball, he will develop... He understands the core technique of what it is to do that specific thing. So it's the two of them traveling the world and, you know, fighting all different types of secret societies. Kind of like an Indiana Jones adventure.
So you and Martin Slam Duncan are into this?
Into Valiant or into Archer and Armstrong?
Both.
Yeah.
Because look at you guys.
Bonding over comics. Someone, and what's interesting is when we chit-chat throughout the day while we're at our jobs, supposed to be working.
Don't bait out the scene.
No.
Don't bait out the
scene. We're working, but we're also debating on which comic books to buy online because we understand the addiction. We're like two fiends helping, not helping each other, going broke.
Hey, man. There's worse things out there. There's worse vices to have. I mean,
yeah, you could be gambling.
I mean, everything in moderation, but this is, you know,
brings you together.
It does. And hey, it exercises the brain, it gives you imagination. Hey man, I'm not mad at that. Do you, boo-boo. Do you.
I think that's a great way to segue into the sunset. Do you, boo-boo. Thank you guys for listening to our off-the-cuff episode of me and Daff J talking about everything under the sun and in the trailers and in the sewers, wherever you want
to
take it.
Ugh, did you have to go there? Did you have to go? I forgot about it. You know what it is? I close my eyes sometimes when I remember that I've seen it, and I see that scene, and it scares the, like...
Bejesus.
Like... Thanks for ruining the rest of my day.
It's late at night, too. You might have nightmares about it. Send us an email at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And leave us a review on iTunes. If you haven't done it yet, please do. 5 stars. I know it's begging, but hey, it helps get the show out there. And it takes like a minute to do it. We'd really appreciate it. And we appreciate everybody who has done that for us. We will be talking to you guys soon, and we look forward to next time you join us in the Cave of Solitude. Daff J, any parting words?
I'm scared shitless right now. I am. Completely. I'm so upset right now. Unbelievable.